Josh Bruce, Western Bulldogs star. The Western Bulldogs sit second on the 40 Winks ladder for a bed that wins every night. Head to 40 Winks. Welcome to you, Josh. Great to have you on.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on what you've been able to put together, both personally and as the Dogs team slowly evolves. A pretty big one at the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Yeah, huge win, obviously, over in Adelaide. I've never won there against an Adelaide-based side in about 12 or 13 attempts, so it's always been a bit of a hoodoo for me personally, and really pleasing to win against, you know, an informed Port side, another finals contender.
And you might have players out, most teams have players out, but you seem to be able to find guys to replace them. No Martin, no English, and yet you still had Tom Liberatore on the bottom getting them out and a number of players still starring for you. So some great upside for the Dogs at the moment.
Yeah, Lib is an absolute star. I've been calling the extractor of late. I don't know how he gets in there and gets it out. So his hands are just unbelievable. But we just marvel at him week in, week out. And, you know, it's really pleasing for guys to come in and step up in the roles that they've been playing. You know, Jordan Sweet's come in for his third or fourth AFL game and, you know, hostile environment. He performed really strongly. And, you know, guys like Cody Waitman coming in and having matured from last year and maturing in his role and, you know, coming in and having an immediate impact, which is, it's really exciting for the depth of our group.
Must be great to play home games at Marvel Stadium as well, with your fans going crazy against an interstate team, making it tough for them. But there's another beauty in playing away at an Adelaide Oval in front of a hostile group when you've got the odds against you, isn't there?
Yeah, it's really special. I mean, obviously, they're one of the best out in the country over there with the pre-game songs and pre-game routines. I don't know if the Port boys are a bit sick of it, but we certainly love the energy over there, you know, the goosebumps on the skin as you're warming up and kicking, you know you're alive. So it's a pretty special place to play, and, yeah, it was a real privilege.
Interesting thought. So you think they might be so used to it, it actually pumps you up hearing that all go on pre-game.
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't been in the mentality of the Port boys. I mean, they've probably heard it, what, you know, 50 or 60 times, 100 times, not sure. So, but, yeah, it definitely gave us a little bit of a pump up pre-game. You know, we addressed it and spoke about it and kind of harnessed the energy of the crowd and got ourselves off to a flyer.
That's a really good message you must have got from Bevo. So you knew what was coming and you used it to your advantage, which I love.
Yeah, we'll flip the script on it a little bit with that. And, yeah, Bevo's obviously pretty good with his messaging pre-game and working out little advantages and ways that he can get the boys up. And, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously it changes week to week, but, you know, it was the elephant in the room. We know how hostile that crowd was going to be, so we addressed it and spoke about it.
So as a lead-up and jumping forward, do you like playing most under the roof at Marvel, or do you like playing elsewhere, the G and other venues, more or just as much?
Marvel all day, every day for me. I love it. I wake up in the morning in the middle of Melbourne winter and it's bucketing down and 100-kilometre-hour winds and I don't have to worry about it because I'm playing under the lid. So I think it's a better spectacle for the fans, you know, on those days when the weather's no good. Obviously, the ball zings around a bit better around at Marvel. And, you know, while I might not have the capacity that some of the other stadiums have, when it's full and rocking, it's one of the all-time venues in terms of atmosphere and that kind of thing, just because it reverberates and echoes around the stadium so much. And I know all the players love playing there from the... Well, all the home teams love playing there. I know that much, so...
Have you found that you've... And this might be just something to my eye, and I'm wrong, but it seems like you have to hold a mark longer these days than you might have had to in the past?
Yeah, there was definitely a few on the weekend that I went on watching a few other games that were surprising that they weren't call marks. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting sometimes the way that the umpiring and the rules kind of flow in and out of weeks and in and out of seasons. So yeah, I mean, you could be right, but you know, it's always a hard one. You just try and hold as long as you can and hopefully they pay it.
Are you conscious of the way that the interpretation for, say, holding the ball prior opportunity, even the interpretation of a handball, changes a little, or are you one of those that don't worry too much about umpiring or rules, you just play?
I try not to worry about it too much, Dwayne, but if I'm honest, I do get a little bit caught up in it in the game sometimes, especially if I feel like, as a forward, you know, opposition defences are so good at blocking forwards out and allowing other backs to mark it, and you know, holds behind the footy and stuff, because it's such a tough job umpiring, and they can't see everything, especially behind the ball. So it can be a little bit difficult at times for them. But yeah, there's definitely some of the holding the ball things on the weekend that appeared like a few weren't getting paid, and you know, it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of correction this week.
So is that another one that frustrates you the most, the hold or the block of a defender as you're trying to run and jump for the ball? Is that or even the chop in the arms that sometimes gets paid one week but not the other?
Yeah, for me, the block and the hold's the most frustrating one. I mean, the chop of the arm one, I try and train my contested marking, and I get the person I'm versing against to chop my arms, because I know they're probably not going to pay it anyway. So I try and mark it, even if it is a free kick, regardless. But I think the blocking and the holding one is kind of frustrating, because I feel like you should be allowed to have access to the footy as a forward. And, you know, sometimes they're just so clever and not, you know, they're getting their body in the way and not allowing you to even have a look at it. Especially if they haven't got their eyes on the ball, it can be a pretty frustrating one. But, you know, defences are so good at it these days. It's just part of the game, really.
Talking to Josh Bruce, Western Bulldogs star. Josh, can I play a bit of David King? Because he's been on this bandwagon for weeks now. He said on First Crack last night, send Josh Bruce back. He said it on Gerald Whateley's program earlier today. He actually said it 2 weeks ago as well. Let me play you David King firstly, and I'll get you to comment on it. Here's Kingy.
I do think they have to look at maybe having a look at Josh Bruce down back for a couple of weeks, just because you don't know. And this has nothing to do with Jamara. I don't care whether Jamara comes in or not. I'm not pushing for him to play, but there's a logical replacement if they want to go down that path. Yep, he's young. He's undersized. Maybe he's not even ready. He can't run AFL standard just yet, but to have a look at Bruce down back just for a week or two might be something that you may be forced into in a final anyway.
Your thoughts, Josh?
Yeah, I haven't heard that before. Look, you know, I'm obviously playing forward at the moment and, you know, having a reasonably strong season. But I think if the time comes that, you know, Bevo or the coaching staff feel like that's for the betterment of the team, or, you know, as King says, Jamara is ready to come in. And, you know, if that creates a squeeze in the forward line and the coaches see fit that they want me to go back down there, I'd be open to it. I mean, I'm not close to it. I obviously want to stay in the game for as long as I can and help the team in any way that I can. So, I mean, I think that our forward line's functioning really well with me and Naughty at the moment, and hopefully get Tim back soon. And, you know, our defence is a team defence. So, you know, whilst there's a little bit of talk in the media about, you know, key forwards, you know, potentially getting a hold of us at times, the way we play is it's not a one-on-one game. So, you know, the onus is on the team and the other defenders to come across and help in that situation. So we play a little bit different to some of the other teams in that regards.
So it hasn't been discussed internally. Easton Wood's now gone down with a hamstring. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. And Jamara seems to be on the cusp of getting selected. It hasn't been mentioned to you at all by Bevo or anyone at the club about being thought of as a defender?
No, not at this stage. So I went down there, obviously, with a couple of minutes to go. Against Port, I just got set down as a seventh, just to try and hang on to the lead. But yeah, no, obviously nothing in terms of a role change so far. So I'm loving my time up forward at the moment, mate. Going well.
And the whole chemistry seems to be going well. I know that there's every chance that Aaron Norton's going to take mark of the century on your shoulders, but the chemistry-wise, it's really working well.
Yeah, at least I'll be in the vision, and I'll be in highlights for all of time, which would be good. He might be on my head though, but yeah, he's a freak, and he's coming on leaps and bounds. You know, he's been able to have a full preseason, and so far, touch wood, he's played every game. And you know, I think that continuity of us training together all summer long, and you know, playing together for an extended period of time now, I think we're really starting to gel well and work out each other's games and the nuances in each other's games. And I think yeah, it's a really exciting prospect. I mean, what is he, 21, 22? Like, you know, he's got another 10 years left in him. He's already, you know, taking hangers every week, and he's kicked 20, you know, plus 20 goals. So, no, he's going really well, and I love playing alongside him.
You've got a few unsung heroes, haven't you? I know that, and I'm guilty of it. We talk about Marcus Bontempelli and Aaron Norton's ability to fly, but you just mentioned Tom Liberatore briefly. Jack McRae just keeps getting 30-odd possessions every week. The growth of Bailey Smith. There seems to be a lot of good news stories at the Dogs that probably don't get the airtime they deserve.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's funny. Like, 1 week we're talking about, you know, the way the Bont plays, and then the next week we're talking about McRae or Liberatore. I think that's just a testament to the depth of our group and the depth of our club. You know, our twos are travelling really well as well. They haven't lost a game yet in the VFL season. So I think from a whole list perspective, it's really exciting. And, yeah, as you said, there's stories everywhere. And it's a tough team to break into. And when the guys come in, they play well. So it's, yeah, it's an exciting time over in Footscray, mate.
Absolutely. You've beaten the Eagles. You've beaten the Lions. You've now beaten Port Adelaide. Who's the toughest team to beat at the moment? I know you lost to the Tigers. Who's the team to beat if it's not you?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, Richmond, when they versed us in that third quarter and the second half, just went to a level that I don't think we had encountered from any other side this year. I still think they're the team to beat in terms of when they're fully fit and firing. You know, I think Geelong, obviously, you know, showed up Richmond. They're really, really strong. So I'll be looking forward to them in a couple of weeks' time after the bye down there at GMHBA on a Friday night. And obviously, I mean, you can't really forget Melbourne. We played them in the pre-season game and got the win over them there. But, you know, I don't think they're at full strength. And, you know, they obviously haven't lost yet. So we're playing them in a couple of weeks at Friday night at Marvel. So hopefully all the fans get down there.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't take you too far down the track because I know that your coach will probably tell you just to talk one game at a time. Good luck, Marvel Stadium, St Kilda this coming Saturday. Let's hope Saturday night it is. Let's hope you take a couple of hangers yourself and you stay forward, Josh. Great to have a chat to you.
Good on you. Thanks, Dwayne.
Good to have a chat to Josh Bruce, Western Bulldogs star. You can get the tickets for the Bulldogs-Saints game at ticketmaster.com.au. So a big plug, Saturday night, Marvel Stadium. Get along there, Doggy fans and Saints fans. Fill it up. Tell the world that Marvel's a great place to go. And hopefully it ended up being one of the matches of the year.